You're listening to the Fear-Free Childbirth Show here on UK Health Radio with me, Alexia Leachman. Let me help you to take the fear out of pregnancy, birth and beyond with a mix of real-life stories and experts sharing their wisdom. I'll also be sharing psychology insights to help you to cultivate a fearless mindset. Be inspired and be empowered with Fear-Free Childbirth. And now it's time for the show. Hello and welcome back to the Fear-Free Childbirth podcast. My name is Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, on today's show, we're going to be talking about periods and menstrual cycles. Now, I wanted to dive into this topic, especially after the conversations that I've had around puberty trauma and the impact of getting our first period on the pregnancy journey and how that can affect you emotionally. But also because there's a lot of misunderstanding around cycles and your periods, especially when you've just had a baby, and whether or not you can have sex again so soon and whether you need to wait for your first period and all of that. So we're going to bust a few myths around that so that you're super clear and don't find yourself with Irish twins. But also I want to talk about the way that we feel about our periods and how for some it can be filled with shame. So this episode is really about helping you to fall back in love with your cycle and your periods. So this is a great episode, and I'm joined today by Elizabeth Tidwell, who's got a great Instagram feed on called My Club Red, which she helps those that are coming up to their first period, adolescents, to really embrace their cycle. And she's doing incredible work. So we have a brilliant conversation all about periods and pregnancy. Enjoy. Hello, Elizabeth, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So we're going to be talking about menstrual cycles. And even before we started recording, which bits are we covering? And I was like, you know what, Elizabeth, we're going to do all of it, because all the bits, all the aspects of menstrual cycles, whether it's the first cycle you ever have, or if you're at the tail end of your bleeding life. So but before we do all that, let's just find out a bit about you. So Elizabeth, just tell us a little bit about you and how come you now are somebody that I'm reaching out to talk about this stuff.
Hi. Okay. So I am menstrual cycle coach, and I also have a daughter. I was like a huge tomboy growing up. I had a lot of like trauma around femininity and things like that. Could not have forecasted that I would be all about menstrual cycles and like talking to women and menstruators about how to make this an awesome ally in your life. But that is what I do, and I super love it.
Amazing. So how did you get onto this then? So I'm just being nosy now. Like, how did you, given that backdrop you've just given us?
I had a baby about 4 years ago. And at the same time, this is like a huger story, but at the same time, I left the religious community that I had grown up in, which had given me all this like kind of traumatic messaging about like my identity and femininity and all sorts of stuff. And after I had a baby and she's a girl, and I just like kind of was confronted with how I wanted her female experience to be different from the messaging that I got about like from larger culture as well. Just like, we all know that like there's a lot of shame around female bodies and menstruation and just like all of it. I overheard a friend recommending a book on menstrual cycles, and I didn't have my period at the time, because right after I gave birth, at my 6 week postpartum appointment, my OB kind of made it sound like this is normal that everybody does. And so I just went along with it, but he put in an IUD. So I wasn't cycling. I hadn't had my cycle for like a few years. And I, at the time, had been just starting to notice something was missing. Like, I was just starting to notice that, like, I just had the thought that like, I'm choosing to stop a natural aspect of my body. And I was like intrigued by the idea of living by cycles, and I'm super into like nature. So I'm like, I'm just like, I've opted out. I've shut down this natural part of what these years of my life are supposed to have in them. So I like had this nagging thought in my mind and curiosity. And then I had a friend who recommended to somebody else that I overheard recommend this to, the book Wild Power by Alexandra Pope and Shawnee Hugo Wurlitzer of Red School. And I read the book, and it absolutely, so many pieces fell into place for me about just my experience and how I wanted my experience to be with my cycle instead of something to totally loathe and feel as annoyance and just ignore. instead to experience my cycle as a superpower and like this huge way of like getting to know my deeper self, accepting my body the way that it is, and really utilizing that for like great opportunities for like self-connection, body acceptance, and things like that that I didn't have a history of before, launched me into realizing I was like, okay, so this has like absolutely transformed my life. And why do we never talk about periods this way? And I want to help other people have this same huge realization. So I actually signed up like immediately after reading their book to train with them. And then I took another training. Then I started a period self-care subscription box and the coaching, and I am all about it.
Really, we've got the whole range of the female experience. You've got those that are trying to want to get pregnant. There are those that are too terrified to get pregnant. And so they're going to be obsessing over their cycles because they desperately don't want to be having sex at certain times of the month. Whereas there's another group that absolutely want to be all over that time of the month because they want to get pregnant. And then there's obviously new mamas with new baby. They're like, oh, when do I need to, when do I want another baby so soon? When can I have the first, you know, session post baby? And then obviously older mums, which we have a lot more older mums. I was an older mum. I was 40 with my second. As you hit starting, I've got some friends that hit perimenopause at 43. So you could be having perimenopause kicking in with the fluctuations. So really, you know, in terms of where do we direct this conversation, there's that we can't, because it's this, the female experience of bleeding. Okay. So I'm happy to be led by you, but one thing that I really want us to do, or to inspire listeners really, is to really what you touched on already, which is to love your period and to see it as a superpower rather than trying to shut it down, ignore it, stop it, hate it, yes, dread it. You know, like I'm just laying down the challenge here for you. Like, can you, in the time we have together, flick the switch so that women can come away from hearing what we've got to say today and go, you know what? I can't wait for my period.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I will take that challenge because it is, I don't know, it is like so, I've like done a lot of like therapy and self-work and all that stuff, but I feel like this menstruality work and working with my cycle has actually been the key that was always missing for me, because most of us do, like, we engage with life from our brains, right? That's how we work. Moving into menstruality work and using that as like a healing self-connection tool has moved my like my self-awareness way deeper into my actual physically lived experience. And that has been like so transformational. It's so transformational, I think, because it's so often overlooked. We just think that we can like deal with our fears or our traumas just by through our heads. Like, we can think our ways through. A side note, my menstrual cycle coach training, we talked a lot about trauma, because honestly, our bodies store our trauma, right? And it often shows up in our menstrual cycles, not only in like the cultural stories that are put upon us as cycling beings, but also just like, we just store any trauma in our body, and finding ways to release that has been really huge for me personally. Through learning about menstrual cycle awareness, which is just a curiosity around what you experience at different points in your cycle, because every day you are somewhere in your cycle. It's not like, oh, I'm on my period for a few days and then the rest of the time I never think about it. You're actually either in a follicular phase or you're in the luteal phase, and that impacts every single day because your hormones are at a different place. So menstrual cycle awareness just brings this curiosity to what you experience day to day. And then you start seeing these patterns. So I'm on day two of my period right now. And about 3 days ago, my husband was like, okay, so are you super mad at everything I am saying? And since I know about my cycle and I knew it was like the day before my period, I told him, no. Honestly, I'm very neutral about like this conversation. Like, I'm not sitting here judging you. I think he was like cooking dinner and he's like, why are you like so judgmental about what I'm doing? And honestly, I said, I'm not. It's just the day before my period, so I come across that way. it seems like externally that I'm like so judgy, but like internally I'm actually just fine. It's just that like my hormones are taking a steep dive right before your period, because your period is the lowest point of all of your hormones. My body's calibrating that, and it shows up in all these ways every single day. This whole idea of menstrual cycle awareness, knowing where you're at in your menstrual cycle, has helped, yeah, me know myself, so then I can communicate with the people around me like where I'm at, and then it doesn't turn into a fight, it doesn't turn into a big deal, it just turns into, oh, okay, you'll feel different tomorrow or in 2 hours. I don't have to worry about that, because I recognize the heart of what's going on isn't like a problem to be solved. It's just something I'm journeying at that moment. So it's like really unleashed a whole bunch of much deeper self-connection and like, again, like relationship connection and so much.
I've done a lot of trauma healing very recently, but when I was in my 20s, I say my cycle was all over the place. I couldn't predict whether it's going to be a 3-week cycle or a 2-month cycle. And I was a hot mess. Like I was a disaster zone emotionally. Whereas now I'm like clockwork. This irregularity of cycle, is that tied to trauma? Is that basically somebody who's massively unhealed and just has a boatload of head trash?
Even if it's not like capital T trauma, some major happenings, there's a whole bunch of little traumas all of us experience, and we're always carrying them. And they show up in our cycles, because your menstrual cycle is a stress responsive cycle. And it's like your body's always listening to the input you're giving it and other people are giving it, and your thoughts, like they live in our bodies. And so the menstrual cycle is like known as like the fifth vital sign, or your overall health like report card, because it shows up in your cycle. So yeah, when you go through, whether it's big traumas that are unresolved or even just little traumas of like, I'm in a really stressful time in my life, it's going to show up in your period.
And now, let's take a quick commercial break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue, hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And now, back to the show.
And then the other bit of trauma, which really kind of was, which I became aware of recently. So the work that I do is around helping women to overcome fear, and specifically phobia around birth. And there's always a trauma at the root of phobia. And it's whether, so it's understanding what that trauma is. And for many women with tocophobia, it's their own birth, their own arrival. And so that's why it flies under the radar, because who's got an awareness or a memory of their own birth, right? But it's not always that. And what's appeared recently, or what I've become aware of, is how for some, especially those with body image issues and fears of losing control, that is something that they feel very strongly around pregnancy, is puberty trauma and their first period. And I've been alerted to this because my daughter's 12 and is going through that. So I had to prepare her for that. And as part of all of that, she said to me, well, when was your first period? And I couldn't tell her. I literally have no idea whether I was 12, 14, 15, just no memory. I don't even know whether I use pads. I must have done, but I just have nothing to give her. It's like this huge blank. And now with my understanding of trauma, I'm like, wow, I have blanked that out.
Mm-hmm.
That was clearly deeply traumatic. And what I also find interesting is I've got a lot of shame around. Like, she's walking around, like, telling me how her period is, how much she's waving pads around. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, how can you do that? Like, for me, it's always been this secretive thing and embarrassed about it and don't want to talk about it. There was so much shame around it. And she's teaching me that there's no need for that. And it's so interesting for me to be taught that by my daughter who's coming at it fresh. But I've been talking about her period, like preparing her, explaining how it's going to be. So when it did happen, there was no shock, no trauma. She was ready. And I guess I never had any of that. So when my client mentioned, you know, this is why it was easy for me to go, you've got puberty trauma. And she's like, nah. And sure enough, she did. And when she healed that, the body image issues fell away. A lot of the pregnancy fear fell away because it's all tied up. The same themes are showing up.
Because that reflects, like, personally my story as well. Like, I do not remember my first period. I have no distinct memory of, like, it happening. I think I was about 12. I think I was in sixth grade. I don't know. I don't have specific memories. I do know that, like, I was so ashamed and didn't want to deal with it that I didn't use any period products for, like, my first few periods. Like, I just free bled. And, like, I remember my mom being like, why aren't you, like, using a pad or something? And I just was like, I can't even. But I also had, like, so much. I had had childhood trauma before that. And just, like, engaging with my body in this way was too much for me to process. And so, like, I just, yeah, absolutely shut it out. And so, like, yes, now I don't have those memories. And at the time, I knew that it was, like, too much. So the interesting thing about that too, for me, and probably for a lot of people. So in your menstrual cycle, there are four distinct phases, and they also can correlate with, like, your life phases. So the time in your cycle that's right after your period ends it's in the follicular half. So the first half of your cycle where the follicle is building in your ovary. This is also referred to as inner spring, like energetically, you're like spring-like. It's the beginning, it's newness, a new cycle. That time of your life, if you think about it, is similar to childhood. So I had childhood trauma. So every inner spring of my cycle, I would kind of go back into this place of like losing track of my body. My regular practices that I would do, even like washing my face at night, would just like fall away. And I didn't really connect that I was still like journeying part of who I was going through that trauma every single month when I would come to that part of my cycle. So that's been a huge potential for healing for me, is that awareness. And then, yeah, like you were saying with your clients, like healing that has resolved so many other things. So finding that point in my cycle where I can like treat myself with a lot more like compassion, because I'm like, even if it's not conscious, my body's retraveling some of those traumas every single month. So that's a big point that I wanted to bring up, is it's like, if we don't do this work, we will stay in these cycles forever, because our bodies have to have a way to resolve them. And if they don't, then we start like falling apart, or it manifests in these big fears and anxieties and other things that impact our lives all the time, every day, until we can resolve it. But going back to your story with your daughter, I love that you were able to just like gently talk about this before it happened. So she was already prepared. I created menarche kits. So menarche is your very first period, because I felt this need to. I'm like, how much better would it have been if I just was given? So my menarche kits have like a little sampling of period products, and it's in a tiny wet bag where they can just put it in their locker or their backpack, because you never know when your period's going to start. Yeah. And then it also comes with a little bit of period education. So just like one sheet that you can talk with your daughter beforehand, because a lot of moms I'm finding have trauma around their puberty, like you were saying. And so they're too ashamed to bring it up with their daughters before it starts, or they have no idea how to talk about it in a way that's not shame-based or embarrassed or just like bringing up their own stuff. So I love that you were able to do that for your daughter. And that is exactly what I'm trying to work for so many other people too. And it's just like, I'm finding that most moms just need like, even just a tiny nudge of like, here's a little bit of directions. And I send them like some conversation starters and ideas and things like that and other resources. But it's like, then they get this really gentle way to introduce their young daughters to this whole idea where we can release from this new generation all the shame and trauma that we had around our changing bodies at that age that's already so vulnerable. And that's like so important. And it makes a difference because then like your relationship with your cycle for the rest of your life, if it starts from a positive place, is going to be so much better.
When you think about the impact of trauma and how that has a ripple effect and shows up in lots of nefarious ways, you know, the link between, you know, when my client who we had this experience with, and I'm going to be talking to her, we're going to be doing a podcast chat about this, so she won't mind me saying this, but she's a therapist. And so she's kind of looked at her own traumas. She's not kind of blind in that respect. She's been hunting them down herself. And so when I said puberty trauma, she's like, what? You know, I was like, what are you on about? Like, hang on a minute, I've done an audit on my traumas. This one wasn't there. And yet I think with a lot of traumas, we kind of miss them because a lot of them are micro traumas, these smaller events that we kind of easily dismiss and don't realize the impact that they're having.
And we also just don't realize, I think we're just so conditioned to overlook our menstrual cycle as a whole that we would never think, oh, it might have something to tell me, or it might be storing trauma. You know what I mean? But it's actually like been this huge well of information of how our whole experience is going.
One thing I've started doing recently, and I only downloaded this app like last week, is I was really interested in seeing whether my cycle aligns with the moon. because like you were saying at the beginning, you know, we are natural, we're animals, we're nature, we're part of nature. And so, you know, and also one thing that really blew my mind when I first started working in the pregnancy world was the method used for calculating due dates is based on lunar cycles, which just blew my mind at the beginning. I was like, what? And I've got a podcast on all of this, but so the importance of lunar cycles on the female cycle is obviously very, very, very important and tied in. And one thing I read, and you can put me, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we can start to align our cycle to the lunar cycle. And when we are, we're kind of more aligned as a being, or I don't know, maybe in a healthier place or whatever. Is that a myth, or is there any truth to that?
There's two ways to look at that.
Okay.
One way, the connection with the moon from like a modern scientific perspective, they'll say it's like nice, but unfounded.
Okay.
Because or like the whole idea of like you sync up with the moon or you sync up with people around you. The scientific explanation for that is that it just seems that way because of the probability of cycles matching up. So it's more memorable when it aligns with the moon cycle. So we like pay more attention, but that means we pay less attention when it doesn't align, because our menstrual cycles, I mean, as you know, they can be irregular. So like they can fall out of alignment with the moon cycle all the time. But like the probability means sometimes they will align and then we'll feel like, ooh, this is really cool.
Okay.
However, there's another side, which is that in all likelihood, absolutely women used to menstruate with the moon because of light sensitive hormones. So our hormones are actually like super sensitive to light. And now our modern lifestyle has so much artificial light that's actually impacting our hormones and our hormonal rhythm. A lot of our hormone like health comes when we're asleep. We're kind of interrupting that a lot with, you know, being on our phones right before bed and all the artificial light. So before all of that, when the only light people had was from the moon, our light responsive hormones absolutely responded to that, because like that's the kind of it's another stimulator for the whole cascade of hormones that cause the timing of ovulation and that kind of thing.
Right.
Science will say, nice thought, but probably not. But also there's this whole other scientific explanation of like the light stuff, and also like energetically, it does feel like really special to like ovulate with the moon. And like other plants and animals in nature who, again, like aren't exposed to artificial light the way that we are, but they do, it's more likely that they're aligning with the moon cycle as well. So yeah, it's a big whole thing, and it is very cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. Well, the app I'm using, I'm loving, which is called Stardust, by the way. And what I love about it is they show the graph, they show how the different hormones are coming in and out. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Just seeing different hormones coming in and out. And now I'm like, okay, I need to eat sweet potatoes when that one's out. And now I'm overwhelmed with too much information and I don't know what to do. So I want to take the conversation now to those that are trying, well, that pre-pregnancy. And so there's two groups that I'm conscious of that are going to be listening. Those that are desperately trying to get pregnant because they're like, right, the time is now. Let's do this. We've just got married or whatever it is. They're kind of on that TTC journey. And then there are those that are super terrified and, having sex is an issue because they might get pregnant, and that's going to really trigger their anxiety and phobia. Mm-hmm. Both groups are going to be super obsessed with their cycles for differing reasons. Can you just talk to that kind of trying to get pregnant or trying to avoid getting pregnant aspect of cycles,
yeah,
just so that those that are maybe new to this aspect of their life can kind of have an introduction to that side of things?
The first thing I will say is there are whole other professionals in this realm beyond like just menstrual cycle coaches. And if this is something that's like really got you thinking, you should look into fertility awareness method instructors, because they're all like, I focus on the whole menstrual cycle. They're mostly focused on the fertility aspect of your cycle.
Mm.
So you can really hone in on that part. But I do kind of want to go back to this idea for those trying to conceive, and actually both trying to avoid and trying to conceive. Again, remember your period, your whole menstrual cycle is a stress responsive system. So think about trying so hard to control this thing. Your body is listening to that. And so trying to conceive in a way that stresses you out may actually be impacting your fertility, right? Because you're throwing in a whole bunch of stress and cortisol and like also just like negative attention. And again, remember, our bodies are always listening to that kind of input. I know this is like way easier said than done to be like, just don't worry about it. But I do want to put a plug in for just like remembering that the stress itself can be an obstacle. But the best, like I said, the best thing to do, I think, is to look at your own fertility biomarkers. Don't like, just trust an app and an algorithm that's saying this is when you're ovulating, because you might not be ovulating. And like, there's so many reasons why your fertility might not be optimal and might be a challenge. Also, another huge thing that people are waking up to, but certainly wasn't, I never heard about this when I was trying to conceive. It took me a year to get pregnant after getting off of birth control. So I've been on this journey myself, and I didn't realize, I was certainly never told about the impact of stress on my hormones. I kind of knew about nutrition, but I did not know just how much you can impact your fertility through nutrition. And then the other thing was how much disruption we do to our fertility and our natural hormone cycles all the time through lifestyle choices, but also especially like products that we use. Endocrine disruptors are everywhere. You have to be very mindful about like the things that you consume or put on your body that could be potentially playing a pretty big role in your hormone levels. And that's like a huge reason why I started My Club Red, my subscription box, not only to help like people who are fine with like not trying to conceive to enjoy their periods, but also like I love this box for women who are trying to conceive, because I know from personal experience that when I got my period, every month when I was trying to conceive for that whole year, the first thought I had was disappointment. And instead, so I have this subscription box that is full of hormone-friendly period and personal care and self-care items, so that it instead becomes, instead of a disappointment, a special time to just like be with where you are in your body. And again, like keep in mind the way to like care for your body, honor your body. It's doing a lot of hard work. And honestly, like if you're on this journey of trying to get rid of some of these potentially negative effects like endocrine disruptors and some lifestyle obstacles that are impacting your fertility, instead, like taking your period as a time to like slow down and check in and just be with yourself instead of being with what your body's not doing was like hugely transformational to me in my relationship with my outlook on trying to conceive, but also like on my outlook on my body and myself, and that my body wasn't a disappointment by doing what it's made to do. Our bodies are always trying to get us pregnant when they're functioning as they are made to. And so it just helped me recognize and honor that it was trying its best, right? And then I could, instead of be disappointed in my period, like use it as a time to connect and honor the hard work that it's doing.
I think the stress thing is a huge thing, because you just hear so much where people are like, well, we've just given up now.
Yeah.
And then bang, they're pregnant.
Yes.
Because they've just kind of relaxed around their whole cycle. And suddenly it was the stress that was getting in the way of their fertility. You know, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're stressed, I heard that the inflammation in the fallopian tubes actually just stops things happening. Like there's a physical blockage. So
yeah, there's like restrictions.
Yeah, that tension is just really important to kind of. So it's almost about having this detachment around, you know, it's like, yes, wanting it, but also being detached from it, which is a, you know, very kind of Buddhist. But also when you've healed something, and when you've got some of the process that I've developed where you have neutrality around something, you can want it, but you've lost that desire energy, which means the want, well, that want desire energy is not there. So you can kind of take it or leave it, even though deep down it's what you really want, that energy is not there. And so that's crucial to create that kind of neutrality space, which is free of the emotional energy that creates the stress.
Yes. Right? It's soothing to your nervous system rather than activating to your whole nervous system, which stress and like this control and wanting something so bad is very activating to your whole nervous system, which again impacts your whole cascade of hormonal happening. So again, it sounds so much easier than it feels like to do, but yes, the like learning to allow and cultivate this neutrality and cultivate safety in your body then releases so much of this held tension. So then relaxation, a safer, lower place of operating from, absolutely is more likely to, one, you're like experiencing less pain in general and inflammation and all those things when you can calm your nervous system.
And now let's take a quick commercial break.
The station that makes you feel good.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie. common or garden, Anne and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And now, back to the show.
Is there an emotional tie-in with, because again, I'm just raising this question because it's just what I've observed in myself, that the more healing I've done, the more kind of okay I am with me, the less, like, I get caught out by my period so much now because I don't see it. Kind of like, you know, before I would like, oh, you know, the cramping stomach, you know, you kind of get alerted to it with the irritable and, you know, all the usual things. And now I'm like, you know, some of that just, and then I just get totally caught out. I mean, how does this happen? Is there a link between the maybe your emotional state or anxiety and the level of your symptoms?
Absolutely. Because again, this physical thing, our bodies and our menstrual cycles, our manifestations are like your body's language for communicating your overall wellness, which includes mental health, emotional health, like our experiences, like our past, like all of this like lives in our bodies, right? We know. And emotions for sure impact our overall well-being and for sure our menstrual cycles as well. And it's funny you mentioned pain specifically, because that was a huge thing for me and why I was open to the idea of an IUD and why I was put on birth control in the first place in grad school was because my period pain was debilitating. And there was nothing physically wrong with me. I was just in a bad relationship and I was in grad school and wasn't like paying attention to my body. I was so caught up in like the stress of grad school. And like, so yeah, like this physical thing to me, like, I think a big reason why my period pain was so bad at that point was not even necessarily the stress so much as the stress of school, so much as the stress of that bad for me relationship, which definitely had an impact on like my emotional well-being. And it was I love talking about the menstrual cycle as a way to the language that your body uses to communicate with you. And pain is its most common, and disruption, these are the most common ways that your body communicates with you something about your entire experience, not just your physical health. So absolutely, your emotional state and like your life circumstances and things that are working for your well-being impact your cycle for sure.
Because pain, you know, I do a lot of work with women around helping them to kind of lose their fear of pain, particularly because a lot of women think that the pain of birth is going to be like the pain of childbirth is the gold standard in pain. And everybody is all agreed, especially Hollywood, that nothing is more painful than childbirth. So, of course, a lot of women have got huge levels of pain around it. And so as part of that work, you know, a lot of it is just understanding that pain is actually an important signal from the body, which is what you just touched on, letting you know that there's a problem. And actually, so that we need to like pain and appreciate it for the work that it's doing, because without it, we wouldn't know. If a bear had just chewed off your foot and you didn't even notice it because there's no pain, you know, you'd be quickly bleeding out and dying. Whereas the minute it hurts, you're like, okay, I need to go and sort this out, get some help, right? So then you're alerted to the problem. You probably would have been alerted by the big bear in the first place, but, you know, let's run with this. And so the pain is a useful signal. So what you're saying is when we have premenstrual pain, that it's a sign that really we just need to kind of take a look at what's going on in our lives. Why is this showing up for us? What is in disease, as it were.
Yes.
And possibly emotional stuff is a good place to look in, but not necessarily. There could be a nutritional imbalance and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of stuff, but it's honestly pretty shocking how frequently like life circumstances that aren't in alignment with like working toward your overall well-being, getting rid of those or changing those or stepping out of bad relationships, like in my case, can like utterly take away some of these problems that I would have never thought I could just like walk away from period pain because I left a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, it seems too big. In my mind, it seems too big. It's got to be so many things. And really, it's just like, yeah, this life circumstance that my body was communicating through its language, which is pain. And I just learned to listen to that language and appreciate that it was a communication tool telling me, examine your life, right? And it is like pretty shocking how often that is the case, that it's not a physical thing. Everybody's like really, it's like really trendy. Trendy is downplaying it too much because there is a lot of hormonal health imbalances right now. But I feel like everybody's kind of catching on that we need to be like checking our hormones and paying attention to our hormones. And like hormones can for sure be the root cause. But if you don't know what is making your hormones kind of go out of whack, it's probably going to keep popping up. You know what I mean? Like, so it's always so shocking, I think. And like also oddly comforting how often it's a life circumstance or emotional component that we can like go to that emotional root cause and be like, oh, my body was doing this huge disruption to get my attention that my whole life wasn't working as well as I deserve, right? Like as well as it could be. And then like your overall health and well-being, you take a step toward that and so much like your body's like, great, that's what I needed. Pain done. That happened for me. And it was like, so mind-blowing.
So it's just like an alarm bell going, hey, you're heading in the wrong direction here. You need to stop. There's some stuff over here that's taking you out of alignment. That's what's going to be true and good for you. You need to kind of take a look at this and stop doing the things that aren't resonating, aren't good for you, aren't in alignment for you. It's as simple as that.
Yes. And it's like pays huge dividends. Huge.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's going to be a huge, well, I don't know. Yeah, like you say, it's huge comfort, but also quite, you think, oh my God, my life's a hot mess. Where do I start? Which bit of it's not working? Like which bit?
Any of it. Just go.
How do you know? If I got to like, you know, at root, like ditch everybody. I don't know. Like, you know, how do you figure out where to go? But yes, knowing that actually it's just an alert to take a closer look at what's going on, what's making you unhappy, where the friction is, where the stress is, the anxiety. Focus on that, which is by addressing that as well, that's going to make you happier anyway, because clearly this thing's not making you happy on a deep level. So it's just about getting real with your life situation.
Yes.
And dealing with whatever is staring at you probably in the face and now screaming at you too through your period.
Yes.
I just wanted to talk briefly about that period post-birth. So let's just talk a little bit about, you know, the recovery of the menstrual cycle.
Okay, so the most important thing I can tell you right here is just a very practical thing that I had no idea, and I think a lot of people don't know about their fertility. And that is that you will not get your first bleed, your first period, without first passing through a fertile phase. So don't wait for your bleeding to come before figuring out what you're doing for birth control, because you will already have potentially gotten pregnant. If you had sex in your fertile window, because what happens first before a period is ovulation.
Yeah.
And the only way you can get pregnant is that egg is fertilized at the right time. Right. So just so you know, this is why so many people get pregnant out of nowhere when they're breastfeeding, because they're like, oh, prolactin's got me. It's suppressing ovulation. Well, it is up until it's not. Right.
Yeah.
And that's different for everybody. Just know that. That's not like breastfeeding isn't for everyone a reliable form of birth control. So if you really are trying to avoid pregnancy, think about how you want to avoid pregnancy, knowing that don't wait for your first period before figuring out what you want to do, because you will have already potentially gotten pregnant from that fertile phase that comes before. Because again, like, your period happens when an unfertilized egg is present and released, but you can't get an unfertilized egg without the possibility of getting the egg fertilized first in that window of ovulation, which is about 2 weeks before your period. So anyway, that's very important. And I have a few friends who got pregnant. I have like Irish twins, because they were told like this misinformation that you can wait until you get your first period before figuring out what you want to do for birth control. It's actually opposite. Your window of fertility opens before your period. So that's huge.
That is huge. And typically, how much time have they got? I mean, I know you said it varies because of breastfeeding and everything is different, but I mean, are we talking, because I've heard it can be weeks.
It can be weeks. Honestly, it is so variable. My mom actually had 10 children.
Oh my word.
And she was so confused when I was looking at birth control when I got an IUD when my daughter was 6 weeks old, and she was like, "What are you doing? You're breastfeeding." Her body, absolutely, the prolactin from breastfeeding absolutely suppressed her ovulation enough that she never used birth control when she was breastfeeding, and it worked for her for 10 kids. So she didn't have surprise pregnancies when she was breastfeeding. But like I said, I have two friends who live here. So that is like the smallest percentage that have Irish twins, because they were breastfeeding and they were told that that would be enough. So it honestly just depends on your body. I personally, to be very safe, would just err on the side of thinking that my body will not not suppress ovulation reliably through breastfeeding alone. Also, thinking about breastfeeding too, as soon, it's such a delicate balance of hormones that are released, when you're breastfeeding, that if your baby starts weaning or you drop a feeding, some people can immediately start ovulating at that point. It's really pretty sensitive depending on the body. So I personally, if you're really not wanting to take any risks, if you are, that's fine. That's no big deal. You can do whatever you want with your fertility. Just know that you might very well be fertile before you ever think that you are. So I would err on the side of anticipating that you are ovulating before you think you might be. Yeah. And you can track your ovulation. You can track your biomarkers. I would highly recommend, if you want to do that, to know if you are ovulating and when, to find a fertility awareness method instructor that can help you with your fertility biomarkers, particularly because postpartum, your hormones are going all over, and it can be a little bit tricky to chart and know if you're ovulating if you already have this knowledge and know what you're looking for. Postpartum is trickier than a regular menstrual cycle. There's a big difference.
And I'm just wondering whether, depending on how the birth went, if it was a positive experience for her versus a traumatic experience, then that's going to have different impact on the hormones. I would imagine that a birth trauma is going to send hormones in a totally different direction to a positive birth. Is that fair to say?
I would absolutely think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So getting somebody to support you. I mean, I think if you've been through that, you need to find support to deal with the trauma. But if fertility is something, then it's definitely to get help and support at that point.
Yeah.
Around that.
Yes, definitely. Definitely get all the support. Absolutely. All the support. My two friends who live here, who both got pregnant and have Irish twins. So two kids born within 1 year. They got pregnant before their newborn was 3 months old, right? So that would be within one calendar year.
Yeah.
That's how young. They were pregnant again with a less than 3 month old infant. But a lot of them, honestly, a few of them were told from midwives who you would think would know about natural cycles and rhythms. So that's why one of my good friends was like, "My midwife told me I wasn't fertile until I get my period. And if I'm breastfeeding, I won't get my period." So they told me it was this clear, and it is just really not. Err on the side of anticipating that you are fertile before you think you will be.
Yeah. So everyone, you hear to hear first, breaking news. Don't wait for the bleed.
Nope. Not if you're trying to avoid.
And just to pick up on your mum, she planned 10 births, did she? It wasn't an accident.
Nope. Ever since she was a little girl, she wanted 10 kids, and then she did it.
Like, she did it. What?
Yeah.
Christmas around your house. My goodness.
Big house. It was a busy, busy place. My mom, I sometimes think about this. I only have one kid, but my mom was pregnant or breastfeeding for over 20 years of her life. And I'm just like,
I can't imagine. I'm just like, so pleased. Like, two. Yes, I'm out of that phase now. I can get back to my life. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, Elizabeth, this has been brilliant. Thank you so much. Now, if people want to find out about getting help from you, your box as well. I was looking for a box like this for my daughter, and all the boxes I found were just like, my background is marketing. So I'm used to kind of just adding extra rubbish into stuff just to make a kit. Mm-hmm. And I did loads of that in my marketing days. That's just unnecessary. And I found loads like that when I was looking for boxes. Oh, here's a mug. No, I don't want a mug. Just give me the stuff that's really useful, that's going to help. So tell us where we can find your box.
Yeah. So myclubred.com.
Okay.
Is the, you'll find the period self-care subscription box, My Club Red. And then that's also where you can find menarche kits. So the first period kits, you can find those there too, if you have a daughter about to start her period. And then you can also, that's where I post like events. I do virtual workshops to help women and menstruators learn about their cycle. And I have different like themes and programs and stuff like that. That's on the events page on that same website. And if you want to work with me one-on-one on menstrual cycle coaching, you could just reach out through that website as well. So myclubred.com.
Brilliant. And we're going to have all the links. And also you mentioned some books at the beginning. So I'm just going to get all those book titles off you, so that in the show notes for this episode, we're going to include links to all of that, plus any references and also any additional stuff that you can think of after we've finished that you might want to think it's relevant to the resources that people might want to check out then.
Yeah.
I'll be including all that in the show notes for the podcast. Well, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining me on today's show on the Free Childbirth Podcast.
Thank you so much. This was so great. Loved it.
You've been listening to the Fear Free Childbirth Show here on UK Health Radio with me, Alexia Leachman. Fear Free Childbirth is the online destination for women seeking to take the fear out of pregnancy, birth, and beyond, with fear clearance meditations, self-healing products and courses, professional training, and specialist programs for overcoming tocophobia. And if you've enjoyed this episode, then check out the Fear Free Childbirth Mamaship. It's a bit like Netflix, where you can binge on a boatload more of Fear Free Childbirth content to inspire you on the journey to motherhood and beyond. More interviews, more birth stories, more expert wisdom. Visit fearfreechildbirth.com to find out more.